Mike Commodore joins us in studio. Commie, how are you?
I'm doing all right. We were talking a little bit earlier, but I am hurting today.
Now, this is in the States, a lot of people hurting today because the Wednesday is when you get added, apparently, for American Thanksgiving. But that is not why you're hurting.
That is not why I'm hurting. No, if I was in the States, I would be hurting today for that exact reason. I think Wednesday of Thanksgiving is the biggest boozing night of the year in the States. I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty big.
Everybody comes home and just floors it.
Just pedal to the metal. I'm on a couch watching football with a bucket beside the couch.
Yeah. the night before, it's like a quick hi to the parents and the family, and then it is straight to the bar.
I like it. I like it a lot.
No, I didn't do anything last night. I went and tried something new yesterday. I went and did a bar class at Bar Bell.
And now, Jill Belland, who, of course, works BT just
Jill
next
Belland,
door.
I think it's her place, yeah.
She's a co-owner of said.
Yeah, I went with me and kind of a funny visual doing bar ballerina, basically type stuff, sort of, as far as I know anyways.
Okay.
Me and Brian McGrattan, his wife was teaching.
Wow.
His wife
Big
is
Earns
an
one.
Animal.
Yeah?
Oh, she is in good shape.
All those instructors are. Now, my wife, when just after she had the twins, they had a class with kids where when they were under a year, you strap them on and do the class.
Oh, my God.
But the twins, of course, so the instructor had to do one. And she was blown away at how the instructors are just bosses.
Like it is no joke.
Carved out of stone.
I'd say about 7 or 8 minutes into the hour class, I knew I was in trouble. No, my area was a disaster. Like jumping around. I was worried I was going to tear my groin because it was literally like I was sweating everywhere. The mirror was like my little section of mirror was fogged up. I was hurting. That was not easy.
When I started dating my wife now, she dragged me to hot yoga, which I'd only done a few times before.
Yeah.
I'd kind of enjoyed it, but not really got into a rhythm. And we went every week for a while. And that was the one where it was a different class than the ones I'd been through before.
Yeah.
It was like 3 or 4 minutes in, you're like, there's 90 minutes here?
Yeah.
Like, call the bloody ambulance and have the gurney ready for me.
They keep it at like, what is it in Celsius? Isn't it like
100? I don't even know. It's essentially like people
40,
making you
it?
Do, all kinds of strenuous moves in a steam room. It's just not fair.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you get good at that stuff, you are legit in shape. Not phony, walk around the gym twice a week in shape.
I mean, you should do things that are hard for you, right? Whatever that is. I mean, if you're working.
And if there happens to be babes everywhere, that doesn't hurt either.
I mean, it's not hurt at all as far as I'm concerned.
I'm clearly married. I wouldn't even look.
Well, but for me, you're talking. Well,
of course, for you. Yeah, I haven't done bar class. It's crazy. Single, absolutely. Wheelhouse. How does it, if you had to do the power rankings for yoga class, spin class, and bar class, power rankings for talent and power rankings for how much it kicks your butt?
Well, I haven't done... spin's hard, spin's good, but you're on the bike, right?
And still you can, a little social, you can ease off a bit.
You can ease off, like you can mail it in. I try not to, obviously, because I'm you're in there, you might as well work. But
there's a motivator for a reason. You can half-ass a spin class.
You can coast your way through a spin class if you really want to. Those other two, it's hard to, it's pretty hard to hide. I would go, God, it's tough because I suck at yoga too. That's I'm just drenched in that too. I would say bar is probably one with a close yoga for second for me.
And then for the talent?
Talent.
Now you're new to bar, so you don't
wanna... I'm new to bar and I haven't done yoga in a while. I'd say it's probably the same.
Yeah. Same power rankings. Oh, it's a fire alarm. You didn't get the email?
This place going to burn down.
Here. That's right. No, we're good. It's a faux one. Don't worry. The fire warden's out there. She's been ready, waiting all week for this. All right, people, line up here. Don't do anything.
Don't leave the building.
You're a sensation on social media, but it comes in waves, and you never really know when. You jumped on in the final moments of the 8-3 rout in St. Louis, where the Oilers got absolutely bleep pumped. And
oh my God!
Early candidate for tweet of the season. Mandatory rage your boys, drink on the bus, drink on the plane, get to Detroit, off to the strip club, play guilty tomorrow.
Yeah,
and honestly, they won last night.
They won in convincing fashion. That game that I saw them, I will admit I committed the ultimate sin last night, and I watched the Oiler game a lot more than I did the Flames game.
Well, after your bold proclamation, you got to follow up.
I had to see it. I really had to see it. The Flames were playing well, and so I figured they were probably going to keep it rolling pretty decently, although, I mean, obviously it was a tough game, and Columbus is a good team, but I had to see, like, that effort, like... look, every once in a while in a season, you're going to get pounded. I get it.
There's
9-1,
right? Yeah.
8-2, you know, it's going to happen. You know, maybe somebody's hot, your goaltender's a little cold, some bad bounces, I totally get it. But that game, Edmonton-St. Louis, was maybe the grossest effort I've ever seen in a hockey game, period.
Yeah, like, and here's an example. Like, Calgary loses in Detroit last week.
Yeah.
8-2.
Yeah.
Special teams a disaster.
Yeah.
Backup goalie doesn't give you a save. You're a little loose defensively. But that was totally different than the 8-3 shellac in St. Louis.
Yeah, like you could tell at least the Flames had some intensity. And yeah, you know, the puck went in, whatever. It's going to happen sometimes. It's not a huge deal. And sometimes if you're going to lose, sometimes it's okay to get pounded. And then you just forget about it and reload, reset, and move on. But, I mean, the Oilers were like some of those goals. Did you watch that clip of the Upshaw goal? Like what led to that?
Yeah, the back check, not real thorough.
Well, and then not even just that Klefbom guy? I mean, that guy, I know his name. He was Klefbom that night.
He was
Klefbom. This guy was.
He's had a rough go the last few weeks.
Oh.
But that whole group has. And here's the other thing we haven't talked about, that you can have bad nights. It's just when you are underperforming as compared to expectations so drastically, when you are 3 points up on Arizona, there's a whole lot less leeway for a loss like that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to at least, if things don't go well, you got to at least put the effort in. I mean, there's a lot of players that if they put an effort in like that guy did, I mean, pack your bags immediately after the game and go straight to the minors. Get out. But obviously, he's making too much money, so that's not going to happen.
You, sir, suggested the bender. You severely doubt it happened. And it's
In all honesty, I was on Jay and Dan last night, and I took full credit for the win.
Never heard of it.
I will. Oh, yeah, sorry. Those guys are terrible. Yeah, no, I would say they probably did. A couple of those guys might have had a couple, but that's just not really how it works from what I hear anyways these days. It's like
all these guys have been personal trainers since they're 14, agents since they're 14, skating coaches, skill coaches. It's just different beasts than pre-lockout group, and I don't.
Yeah, they probably, instead of like going out and having a team rager, they probably like hit the foam roll harder. And had an extra protein shake or something.
You know what? We're going to go out for sushi and foam roll for an hour.
Yeah, I know.
While we watch clips.
Makes me sick.
Is that ever going to come back? Or once that's gone, it's gone?
It's probably gone.
It was kind of like the prior. See, your generation was the one that ruined training camp. Because you guys would show up in shape. That was your.
Yeah, we had to.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, but the generation before that, when you look to the expansion era, like let's say 70s, 80s.
Yeah, those guys showed up to camp.
They showed up to get in shape. So you ruined that for them, and now this generation has ruined the getting hammered the night before game.
Yeah. I mean, not to say it happens all the time. I don't want anybody to think that you just sit around and hit the bottle and then go play, because that doesn't happen. But honestly, I do think there's value in it to do it as a team, not just sit there in your room by yourself, but to go out with a few of the guys and just kind of blow off some steam after just getting schlacked. I do think there's value to that. I mean, it's kind of like a... I mean, it's a good way to bond.
It's team building.
Yeah, it's team building, kind of like the Flames are doing. I mean, it's either go out and have a couple beers or get in a bench clearing brawl. I mean, that bonds too, but I don't think that's kind of frowned upon in today's game.
Yeah, neither as prevalent as they used to be, sure.
Which is probably a good thing.
What surprised you this year? Before you came in here, we were noting it. The two surprises in the West in terms of better than you thought have to be Vegas, who are now leading the Pacific Division.
Yep.
With games in hand on LA, leading the division, 8-1-0 at home, and Colorado, they are quietly tied for the last playoff spot. After moving to Shane, they're still playing well. They're 7-1-1 at home. Do you buy either of these teams, and when do we have to take Vegas seriously? Because we're at the one-quarter pole now. This isn't a 10-game run. This isn't a, you know, tiny sample anymore. This is a quarter of a season.
Honestly, when it comes with Vegas, I think you start taking Vegas seriously right now. I mean, I didn't think nobody thought they were going to be this good.
No one, not even their GM, not their players, not their coach. No one.
Especially when you bring in, I mean, the goaltending, you know, all the injuries they've had. I mean, they've played great. I didn't think they were going to be awful. Like the expansion draft is completely different than it was this year than when, you know, back in the 90s there with like the Ducks and stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it was complete. I mean, they got some legitimately very good players.
Yeah. And for $500 million, I'm sure that was part of the conversation that Phil Foley had with Ben. Yeah. I'm going to need to be competitive within the first half decade, unlike prior, you know, expansion versions.
Yeah. Yeah. So Vegas, I think you start taking them seriously now. Obviously, I mean, we just went over it, but the Oilers are. it's kind of funny how it works out a little bit. Preseason, I mean,
cup favorites. If you ask
cup
them up
favorites,
there.
Yeah. Now you got to ask what cup they're favored for, the Calder Cup. But you know, the Flames were struggling in preseason. I mean, there were some bad games for the Flames in preseason, and they're playing very well. And the Oilers were the exact opposite. They came out preseason, lit it up, and the regular season's been a disaster so far.
Are they done, or is it still way too early with the team that's got McDavid, Dreisaitl, and you know, a guy that we liked a lot the last 2 years in Nett Talbot, who's been real shaky? Is it too soon to say, you know, they're in deep trouble? These are must-win games. They're going to have to play like 650 hockey the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That doesn't leave you much room to stub your toe. You're going to have to win two for every loss you have, sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's too, well, it's not, I wouldn't say it's quite, they're not done. I don't think they're done. I mean, they go, if they can pull off some games here and put a little streak together, they're right back in it. But I mean, that's easier said than done. I don't think they're done, but I definitely think they're in a little bit of trouble for sure.
What would you do there? Because I like the coach. I've heard a lot of good things about the coach.
I've heard a lot of good things about him,
but
too.
But the GM is the guy that gets to choose whether the coach hangs around. And the GM's the one that's put them in the spot. I don't think he's going to fire himself. I don't know that in the history of the league, GMs has fired themselves yet.
No,
so there could be some job preservation by making McClellan a sacrificial lamb. Is that the way they go? Or, you know, can you build... Clearly, they win last night. A loss to last night really would have made things more interesting.
If they would have got stomped last night again, like if it was another effort, more importantly than getting stomped, but if it was another effort like it was in St. Louis, then, I mean, I don't know. It's not too late, but it's something I think would probably have to change or get close to it. I don't know what you do there. I mean, I think you just you got to kind of stick with it. I mean, I shouldn't say I hate to say it. I mean, those guys just got to play better.
They do, especially the guys making more than $8 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair. What the guys that need to make more, they need to play better, the guys in that mid-tier.
Yeah.
If Lucic, if you're here for the next 5 years at six a pop, and Nugent Hopkins, if you're a $6 million centerman, and you know, all you defensemen that apparently needed big extensions or making big, like, I don't hang this on McDavid. I would like to see Dreisaitl do it without McDavid, especially if you're going to pay him like that. But to me, it's the supporting cast has been non-existent this year. Strome's been a complete disaster. And I would say, go make a big deal.
Yeah.
The problem is that the big deals have gotten this group in trouble. You traded Eberle and Hall for a second-pairing defensive defenseman and a useless third-line forward.
Yeah.
That's no good.
No, it's not a good look. No, it's not.
So don't make another deal, because the guy making those deals hasn't won many.
No, that's true. He kind of has a track record of not. I can't list them off all right now, but I think I saw a tweet somewhere where somebody kind of listed off his, including Boston, and there's
they got rid of Seguin before he was 23.
Yeah.
Moved to Dougie Hamilton. I don't believe he was there for that, but it was soon after he left, because I think Edmonton was in the mix when he was there. Either way, leave that. The biggest disaster was the Griffin Reinhardt deal. Kid played for the Oil Kings in Major Junior, first round pick by the Isles, and he cleared waivers this year. They gave up a first rounder for him less than two years ago.
Yeah,
you can't be trading first rounders for AHL fun.
No, sometimes you just got to cut the cord. Sometimes it just doesn't translate for whatever reason.
What else has caught your eye this year?
What else has caught my eye?
Like Tampa looks. Absolutely legit.
Tampa's good. I mean, you don't get to see. Well, I need to get the NHL package. What I need to do so I can start checking
Rogers
in on these teams.
Alive, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I need to get on that, because I don't see. I mean, I see the Flames and Oilers basically, but Tampa. Tampa's unreal. Stamkos and what's the Russian's name again?
Kucherov's insane.
Yeah, he's
lead
good.
The league in goals.
Yeah, he's good. And Stamkos is. You know what? I'm actually really happy for Stamkos.
He's had a rough run with injuries, hasn't he?
Injuries. Yeah. I mean, he's an unbelievable player in the last couple of years for him. I mean, nothing you can do, right? And some major injuries like that. Those he had the blood clots, right?
Blood clots, and then the broken leg the Olympic year, I believe, was the other one.
The blood clots. Like, I went on a golf trip with him last summer, and I hadn't seen him in a while. I hadn't seen him in a year, and the surgery for that. I mean, he was carved up.
Really? Yeah.
He's got some, like, a huge scar on his neck.
Oof.
And then, like, I want to say another one on his leg. Like,
so do you know him well? You're golfing with the guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know Steve well. Yeah. Great dude. One of my favorites, to be honest. He's awesome. I would go to bat for Steve any day of the week.
Are you surprised he ended up back in Tampa despite going all the way to free agency, or at least through the deadline and into the summer?
No, I wasn't surprised. Steve's like, I mean, he could have went wherever he wanted. I know Toronto was after him and stuff like that, but Steve's, he's more of a, he doesn't care about. I mean, I went out with him in Toronto last summer. Actually, Mike Smith was there. It was our last golf, like last summer's golf trip. I mean, that guy goes anywhere in Toronto. And even playing in Tampa, he goes anywhere in Toronto. People are all over him.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, yeah, that's cool sometimes, but he's not really, he doesn't care about walking down the street and everybody knowing his name. He would prefer to show up to the rink. He likes it down in Florida. He likes it down there. I mean, Tampa's awesome. It's a great place to play too. And he doesn't need the extra stuff. He just prefers to, that's my impression anyways, is he prefers to go to the rink, take care of his business, and then if he wants to go relax and wander around town or do whatever he wants and not get hassled too much, that's how he'd prefer it.
Yeah, you couldn't cross the street in Toronto.
No.
I mean,
no, we went out one night. It was pretty crazy.
Never mind your whole life,
right? Security.
Yeah, crazy.
Dudes everywhere.
It is 9:45. What's loaded up here on American Thanksgiving? You just hydrate, recover from the bar class yesterday?
Seriously? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do much. I was supposed to go Muay Thai box at 10 o'clock, but I mean, yeah. I don't think I
bar
can.
Bar took it out of you.
Bar took it out of me. I mean, if I had to go, I don't think I could break an egg with a kick today. I don't know if I can raise my leg. I could barely put my socks on this morning.
Next week in Muay Thai, watch out.
Yeah, next weekend I'll be stronger.
Once you've recovered.
Once I recover, I'll be ready to rock in there.
Good seeing you.
Great to see you too.
Thanks for hanging out. Yeah. Are we going to get you in again before the holidays? Because, hey, you're. I know how you guys roll. Rhett's got, I think, 18 months of vacation a year. I don't know how that's possible. It sounds like it's not possible, but I think it is in his contract. Do you get away? Are you going down to the desert? Do you go to the mountains? What's up?
I have no real... Well, my family's here, so I'll be spending some time here. I actually have a... I'm going to be gone December 2nd and 7th. I'm actually doing a really cool trip for the Canadian military. Brian Burke's coming. There's a bunch of former guys. They do it every year. But it's just a quick trip, December 2 to 7, fly out of here the 2nd. We're going to Athens, Greece, and then Riga, Latvia. It's all for the troops. Play a couple like little hockey games in Riga and then a little kids camp for Latvians.
Wow.
And then back here, I'll be back here for a little bit, and then I'm going to go, I got one weekend in Fantasyland.
Fantasyland,
which for me is a.k.a. Kansas City.
You got some pals down there. You go to Chiefs games. You play all the exclusive courses. You're hooked up there.
I have some pals in Kansas City, and these guys run a pretty tight program. So I'm going to go there from the 16th to 19th. Other than that, I'll be in town.
All right. So why don't we squeeze you in pre-Kansas City, post-Latvia?
Let's do it. Yeah, that works out perfect.
All right. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Thanks for having me.